Starting in verse 1, John chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, a day with Jesus. A day with Jesus. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing on the message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Thank you for all your blessings to us, even though so often we don't deserve it. But help us now to look into a time where how you spent your days here on earth, and help us to pattern our lives after how you spent your time here. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Can you imagine what it would be like to spend a day with Jesus? These disciples that Jesus had, there was 12 disciples, and these guys had an enormous opportunity to spend with Jesus. And the problem is that they still didn't get Jesus, even everything he said. For instance, when Jesus went to the cross and they were all sad about it, and he died, and then he was buried for 3 days, they're up hiding out, trying to figure out what to do next. We just had a play about it a couple of weeks ago, and we saw that they were hiding out, and they were fearful for their lives. But yet they spent all this time with Jesus, and if they had paid attention to Jesus, they would have realized what they had told him is, hey, I'm coming back. It's not over. They had all these opportunities. And here in John chapter 4, they go into this city to buy bread, and Jesus is left by himself sitting on a well, and this woman of Samaria comes out to the well to draw water. It was just a normal day for her. There's nothing special about this well, nothing special about drawing water. She just needed to get water for herself and her household. And so she comes out to get this water, and Jesus is sitting there. Now, Jesus, being a Jew, typically would not have any relationships or wouldn't have any discussions to do with this Samaritan woman. But when she comes to the well, he starts up a conversation with her. And this sets the woman kind of by surprise, because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't have any dealings with each other, because the Samaritans were intermarried with the Moabites, the Syrians, the Moabites, the Edomites, the Philistines. They had all these different marriages with they basically watered down the Jews, okay? And they married all these different people. And so the Jews that married the Jews, they didn't like the Samaritans. They were kind of the mixed crowd. And so she was surprised that this guy would be talking to her, him being a Jew. And he starts up a conversation with her, and he asks her for what she's doing. What is she doing? She's drawing water. Nothing hard about this. Jesus never asked the woman for something that she could not do. He says, "May I have a drink of water?" And she gives him a drink of water. Now, what is Jesus doing? Number one, a day with Jesus, he's reaching out to a Samaritan. He's reaching out to a Samaritan. How do we reach out to people? You know, typically we categorize people. You know, if you go to the mall, we'll see some people, and maybe we'll talk to certain people because maybe they dress like us. Maybe they look sophisticated, whatever that's supposed to look like. Maybe they dress better. Maybe whatever it is, and we'll talk to them. But the little boy sitting on a bench that has holes in his clothes and raggedy shoes, we kind of overlook him. Why? Well, because we think he's just not that important. But we see through this story that who Jesus reaches out to are the folks that we typically wouldn't reach out to. You remember the last verse I read? The disciples came back with bread, and they were shocked that he's talking to the Samaritan. Do you realize how sad it is? The disciples wouldn't have had a communication with this woman. That's pretty sad. Okay? If Jesus wouldn't have been there, this woman would not have been reached. Jesus reaches out to a Samaritan. Who do we reach out to in our life? Do we only reach out to people that look like us? If that's the case, you're missing the boat of Christianity completely. Because it's not about reaching folks that look like us. It's about reaching and loving folks who Jesus loves. Now, Jesus reaches out to a Samaritan. I'm going to give you a quick three or four stories how this might play out. When we went to Iowa and also Kansas a few weeks ago, the first stop we made was in a town in West Virginia. Now, is there any West Virginian people in here? One, two, three. Four. Okay. I want you guys to understand, I am not making fun of you. Not going to do it. Okay. You weren't there. Now, let me tell you this. The first church I helped in was a church in Statesville, and I met a West Virginia guy. Loved the guy to death. And he told me this. He said, "Mark, if you ever go to West Virginia, everybody's just a little bit different. It's okay." And I love this guy. Okay. And I said, "Okay, well, I've never been to West Virginia, but you're cool. I like hanging out with you." And, he said, just remember that. It's a mission field. Okay. Okay. I said, "Okay. Well, I since have had the opportunity to go to West Virginia." Okay. And we went there. We stopped at a Chick-fil-A on our way up to Iowa. I am in wind pants and a t-shirt. Look normal. Okay. We walk into Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A's here in town. It's normal. We walk into Chick-fil-A, me, my wife, and Bethany and Brad, and you would have thought I had blood all over me. This is what they did. They stopped what they were doing, food in their mouth, and they looked at it, right? They looked at us, and we were walking up to the counter, and they were just like this. I looked down, and I look at my family, and I said, "Something's wrong with us. Everybody's looking at us. You know, what's the first thing you do? My pants are zipped. Oh, wait, no, I'm wearing wind pants. I mean, that's the first thing you do. Okay. Something's definitely wrong with us." And you talk about hairy people. Hair coming out of everywhere. And then there were the men. You know, Jesus would reach out to those people. He would. Me and you look at some of those people and we say, "Well, they don't look like anything special. They don't look like we need to reach out to them. They don't look like they're like us. So we're going to ignore them. No. Don't ignore those people. Jesus would love those people. A couple weeks ago, I was getting gas in Elizabeth City. It's a true story. I was by myself. They're all true. And I finish filling up the van with gas. And this other van pulls up into the gas station. And there's smoke coming out from underneath the hood. I thought, this can't be good. And he pops the hood. And I thought in my head, I'm going to go and see if the guy needs help. Good Christian thing to do, right? He gets out of the van. He's got a cigarette in one hand. Not a problem. I talk to people that smoke all the time. Not a problem. And he walks around to the front of the van. This is where it gets hairy. He takes his finger and he cleans out both nostrils with his finger. And then he's doing this. How do you go up to somebody? Sanitation kicks in, right? You go, do you need help? You know? You don't. Do you know Jesus would go up to that person? There's a little boy in Iowa. His name's Mark. Got a funny last name. Nobody else would have looked twice at me. I'm nothing special. But Jesus would look twice. Aren't you glad Jesus looks twice at you? You think of the story in Luke chapter 19 of this little guy. This is in the Bible. This little guy, he's got problems. He's a tax collector. He takes what the government says, you owe me this money. Then he adds what he thinks he should get for telling you the government needs this money from you. His name was Zacchaeus. And he's got this problem. He wants to see Jesus, but he's small. He's short. He can't get through, the Bible says, because of the press. And nobody else wants to have a conversation with Zacchaeus. He's the bad guy. He's the guy that takes my money. He's the guy that I have to go borrow money so I can pay him and so he can line his pockets with. Nobody likes this guy. And Jesus is coming to town and he can't get through. So he climbs up a sycamore tree. Remember the story? He climbs up the sycamore tree to see Jesus. And Jesus comes by and Jesus stops and looks up at Zacchaeus and has a conversation with him. Now, if you're Zacchaeus, what are you thinking? Everybody around you hates your guts. Everybody came to see Jesus and Jesus stops to have a conversation with me, right? And what's Jesus say? He says, I have a dinner invitation. I'm coming to your house. And Zacchaeus, he climbs down and he goes. And you know what? Zacchaeus' life has changed. Do you realize nobody else would have reached Zacchaeus if Jesus wasn't there? How many times do we pass people because we don't think, we look at them and we don't think they're normal. What's normal? Jesus died for everybody. Everybody's included. The only people that aren't going to heaven is the people that reject what Jesus did on the cross for them. Everybody gets a ticket. Do you want one? And so Jesus is talking to this Samaritan. And she is amazed that Jesus is talking to her. He reaches out to her. Who are we reaching out to? Number two, Jesus rebukes her sin. He reaches out to this woman. And number two, he rebukes her sin. Now, I like this part because Jesus separates things here. He loves her, but he hates her sin. Okay? What does Jesus do to get the woman to realize he knows everything about her? He says, go call your husband. And in her credit, she says, I have no husband. She's being honest. Now, to her amazement, Jesus says, you answered right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the guy that you're living with now isn't your husband. Now that set her back, okay? That, to her amazement, what did she say in the Bible? She says, sir, I perceive that thou art a what? Prophet. Okay? Because in her mind, only a prophet could know about her life. And she doesn't think the Messiah is here yet because later on, down in that chapter, she says, my people's looking for the Messiah to come. And then Jesus says, the one that you're talking about, I am he. Okay. So she understands a little bit of what's going to take place. She just doesn't think the Messiah is here yet. And so he says, go call your husband. She says, I don't have one. And then she tries to trip up Jesus. She, instead of confessing her sin, she goes and says, let me throw out a theological question. You know, you Jews say that you worship in a mount in Jerusalem, and the Samaritans say that we have to worship in a Mount Gerizim, okay? And she's trying to see exactly who this guy is, because if he's not Jesus, who is he? And if he's not a prophet, who is he? How come he knows so much about my life? And Jesus says, look, it's not about where you worship, okay? You guys have it all wrong. The Jews, they're going to have it all wrong. It's about me, okay? He's trying to point this lady to himself as, you want a drink of water? I'm the living water. You want water that'll satisfy your physical need? I'm the water that'll satisfy your spiritual need. So he rebukes her sin, but he reaches out to her soul. How do we meet people? How do we relate to people? When we come in contact with people, how do we view people? Which is not our business to view and judge people, by the way. But how do we look at people? Do we look at people as if they're lost and on their way to hell? Do we look at people? Think about it. When you meet people, what's the first thing you think about? If you meet me, you think, he's weird. Okay? When you meet other people, what's the first thing you think about? His shirt's untucked. He's got a whole... Okay, get past that. There is an individual that has a soul, and that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. It's either heaven or hell. And if you don't get over there and figure out and invite them to church and let them know about the Jesus that saved their soul, they could, because of you, wind up in hell. And how does that make us feel? Okay? Not very good. He rebukes her sin, but he reaches her soul. Look, I'm not saying you've got to go find the worst sinner, whatever that is, and take part of that sin to reach somebody. Okay? You don't have to do that. You just have to show the love of Jesus to that person. Say, yeah, you've got baggage. I've got baggage. I've got junk in my trunk. So do you. We're past that. Okay? You know you're a sinner because of what you've done. All right? Now I'm going to show you the love of Jesus. You know what true Christianity is? Loving God and loving other people. You know why it's so easy to love God? Because he's perfect. You know why it's so hard to love other people? Because we're a bunch of sinners. It's hard to love a bunch of people. Why? Because we're sinners. But you know that's who Jesus loves? That's who Jesus died for. And these disciples, they come back from buying bread and they're thinking, Jesus, what are you doing? You're wasting your time talking to a sinner. Yes, that's why I came, you knuckleheads. It's there. It's in the Greek. Okay. Jesus is trying to reach out to a woman who's got a problem. And he's got these other 12 people that are supposed to be his followers, and they're not catching up to what he's wanting them to do. Because what he's trying to do, trying to pass on to them, they're not getting. The disciples are looking at this woman saying, we wouldn't have thought twice about her. We would have left her by the well. She would have got her own water. We wouldn't have even helped her out, let alone mention your name to her. Why? Because she's a Samaritan. When we meet people, how do we reach out to them? Do we look at them as a dirty, rotten sinner? Okay, so am I. Or do we look at them as a person that needs Jesus if they're not saved? Okay, that's the only thing we need to be concerned about. You know why? Because that's what Jesus was concerned about. He was concerned about her soul, not that she was from Samaria. So number one, Jesus reaches out to a Samaritan. Number two, he rebukes her sin. Now be careful. Nobody wants you to come out and point, hey, you've got this problem, you've got this sin, you do all this other stuff. You're not God. Okay? That's God's business. That's not your business. We don't need to be sticking our nose in other people's sin. That's between them and God. I got enough stuff that I have to deal with. I don't need my nose in somebody else's business. And you don't need your nose in my business. That's between me and God. What our business is, do you know Jesus? Do you know that Jesus loves you? That's what Jesus was all about. Number one, he reaches out to a Samaritan. He rebukes her sin. Number three, Jesus' main mission, what he tries to get the disciples to see is, he reaps souls. If you look at verse 28, Verse 28, chapter 4, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men." So she goes back into the city and she says, and gets everybody together. Everybody knows who she is. Remember, she's got five husbands, and husbands talk, okay? Verse 29, "Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" So by having a conversation with Jesus, she knows there's something different about this guy, okay? Verse 30, "Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat." They're so over this lady and so focused on him eating physically to keep up his strength. How frustrating would that be for Jesus to be around these guys? Verse 32, "But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of." And the disciples were like, great, we did all this work and somebody already fed you. All right, verse 33, this is exactly what they said. "Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Okay, we struggled so, you know, feeding 13 people is a chore, especially 13 hungry grown men. And they probably already ate, and they brought this back to Jesus, and he's not interested in it anymore. Verse 34, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Verse 35, Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors." You know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, look, you need to be concerned about souls. Not that you're going to win everybody that you talk to, everybody that you say that you talk to about Jesus, but what you're doing is you're sowing a seed. You are planting me on their hearts, and then somebody else might come down the road when they have a real hard time, when they're hit rock bottom, and be able to reap that seed that you sowed. See, you're not going to be able to reach everybody for Jesus that you talk to, but you can plant a seed. You can sow a little bit here. You can at the bare minimum, you can live the Christian life that would make Jesus pleased and proud to call you, yep, that's one of my children. Bare minimum. That even if you didn't say a word, that way when other people looked at you, they say, well, he's a Christian. He doesn't say much, but there's something different about that guy. Okay? Bare bones minimum. Please Jesus with your life. Then you take it a step further and I was in Lowe's the other day. Okay? I had this problem with plumbing, and I'm talking to the sales guy. I had to go back for 3 days. I talked to 3 different people. I finally got a good answer. And he witnesses to me. And he goes to church. He's concerned about my soul. Okay? I didn't tell him who I was. I didn't tell him that I'm a Christian. He gets in. You know what he is? He is concerned about soul. It's not about where you go to church. It's not about who you run around with. Okay? It's about, do you know Jesus? Okay? There's a lot of good churches out there, but you know what separates the good churches from the bad churches? The folks that are serious about reaching the world for Jesus, and they're being the light in their community for Jesus. You know those other churches that aren't doing that? You know what Jesus thinks of them? They got problems. They're backslidden. They've got issues. They won't even do the basic commandment that I left for them, is to reach other people. And they can't even get that right. Okay? You know what Jesus will do? You know what God does? He goes to this other place. He says, you want to reach people? Okay, good. I can work with a crowd like this. And they reach their community for Jesus. You hear stories in different towns, different communities, different countries, how people are just getting saved and people are getting right and the church is growing and everything. You want to know why? Because the people in the church are concerned about other people. You don't grow a church by sitting there. You grow old. Nobody's going to come because you're here. But people might come to learn about Jesus because they heard you talk about him. Okay? And that's what Jesus is trying to get through to these guys. Look, it's not about the physical meat. It's not about, we're so far past the physical. Get to the spiritual. Get your mind out off of that. We're here to reach other people for Jesus, whether you think that they're worth it or not. And that's exactly what this Samaritan was to Jesus. He looks at her and says, nobody else will talk to you. I'll talk to you. Jesus looks at Zacchaeus. Nobody else wants to reach you because all they see is your sin. I'll reach you. How do we reach others? Do we see their sin and their sin is so stacked up that we meet their sin before we meet the person in your eyes? Or do we look at them like, man, they're just like me. I'm a sinner too, and they need what I've got. I'm going to share it with them. Is that how we reach people? That's how Jesus was trying to get his disciples to reach people. Who are we reaching? You realize a day spent with Jesus will be a day you never forgot. And yet these disciples spent three and a half years with Jesus. Okay? A long time. And they didn't get what his main mission was. Do you realize we come to church, we sit in pews and we read our Bibles and we pray to Jesus, and sometimes, a lot of times, we still don't get what Jesus wants us to do? Why? I don't know. But now, y'all have heard. Jesus' main mission is to reach people. How are we doing? Okay? Do we look at people as just a dirty, low-down, stinking sinner? Okay? That's not going to reach anybody. Or do we look at people as, man, they're a sinner, but there's a big Savior that came to save me and them. You realize when Jesus was on the cross, he was hanging there between two people. Okay? Both sinners. Jesus is on the cross and he is paying for my sin and for your sin. And what's Jesus doing? He's reaching somebody else, isn't he? Right? His last act, a sinner on his one side said, if you're really the Son of God, come off that cross. The sinner on the other side said, shut up. Because we are here getting what we deserve. This guy has done nothing. He turns to Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus turns to him and says, come on. He's reaching people. Who are we reaching? Okay. It makes all the difference in the world how we look at people. Do we look at them like we look at them, or do we look at them through Jesus' eyes? Everybody stand to your feet. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to do things different. Mr.